This morning, I'm going to preach a little while on what I'm going to call the consequences, or I could say the dangers, of not remembering. We tend to forget things way, way too quick, do we not? And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. The Bible says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, and I want you to notice these next two words, neither remember. Do you not yet understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now, there's so much that could be said on this passage of Scripture. With the Lord's help, we're going to limit our focus to just one or two things concerning it. So, Father, please bless this morning as the Word of God is preached, as the pastor, as the preacher. I confess my dependence upon you. I'm so thankful that I have you to depend upon, Lord. I pray that you would fill me afresh with your Spirit, that you would help me to think clearly, very simply, to speak very simply and plainly. That the Word of God would go forth with your blessings upon it, that it would not return void. That you would use it to stimulate our minds to think and to remember. You know, Lord, that we are so prone to remember things that we ought not and to forget things that we ought. And I pray this morning that you would stimulate our minds that we may remember those things that we ought. And may we be warned here this morning of the danger of forgetting those things that we ought not to forget. Lord, is there someone here that does not know you as their Savior? Touch that precious heart today. Bring that one to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. There's a people here facing decisions. May you give them guidance in making those decisions, I pray this morning, in Jesus' name. And everyone said with the preacher, amen. Our nation has set aside 3 days of each year to honor our military personnel. The first is Armed Forces Day, which we observe on the third Sunday of each May. On that day, we honor those who are presently serving in our military. That is probably the one of the 3 days that gets the least amount of attention. And yet, perhaps it is the one that we ought to give the most attention, honoring those who are presently serving in our military. The second of those 3 days is Memorial Day, which we observe on the last Monday of each May. On that day, we honor those who have died while serving in the military forces of our country. And then the third is Veterans Day, in which we observe on the 11th day of November each year. And on that day, we honor all those who have served in our military, whether they be living or deceased. As long as they have served in our military, we seek to honor them. Now, tomorrow, we will be observing Memorial Day, the second of those 3 days. The day that we have set aside to honor those who have died while serving in our military. Now, I'm sure that many of you will be doing a lot of different things tomorrow. Most of you will probably have the day off of work. And you'll be spending time with friends, family, maybe sleeping a little bit late. Some of our folks have already gone out of town for the weekend. A lot of folks will be barbecuing ribs or cooking a steak or something like that. But whatever you do, as you enjoy the day tomorrow, I trust that you will pause for a few moments at least and thank God for the tens of thousands that have given their lives to give you the freedom that you will be exercising. You will be enjoying something tomorrow that much of the world will know nothing about. But it's all because people have laid down their lives to give us those freedoms and then to guarantee those freedoms throughout the history of our country. And you would do a great dishonor to those that have given their lives if you don't at least pause sometime tomorrow to think about those sacrifices and to thank God for those who have given their lives. They can't enjoy the things that you're enjoying, will be enjoying tomorrow, but they've made it possible for you to do so. Now, if you are a parent, or perhaps even a grandparent, your children or grandchildren will be with you some tomorrow. I trust that you will pause long enough during the time, all the activities that you'll enjoy with your family, to teach your children and your grandchildren, if you're a grandparent, the meaning of Memorial Day. You'd be surprised. Many have no idea what Memorial Day is all about. Just like so many children today, you ask them, I ask teenagers sometimes, at Easter time, what's Easter about? They have no idea. No idea. And the same is true with our patriotic holidays. Young people have no idea, in many cases, what they're all about. A lot of times, they're not getting it really in our public school system much anymore. If they're going to get it anywhere, you're going to have to give it to them as parents and grandparents. And I trust that you'll pause long enough to emphasize that to your children, your grandchildren tomorrow. Now, why is it necessary for us to have annual days set aside to remind us of something as important as the sacrifices that have been made to grant us our liberty and to preserve it? Why is it necessary that we set those days aside? And then simply this, is because of our sinful tendencies. We are sinners by nature. We are born as descendants of Adam with that old Adamic nature. And because of that old Adamic nature, we tend to remember those things which we ought to forget. I look back at my life. There's so many things I wish that I could somehow wipe from my memory. So many things. But my old sinful nature, I am prone to remember those things which I ought to forget. But because of my old sinful nature, I also have a tendency to forget those things which I ought to remember. And that's why we have to have a day like tomorrow, because we are prone to forget those things which we ought to remember. And our leaders in the past, I think they've been very wise in establishing that day, such as Memorial Day, to remind us of the sacrifices of those that have made our liberties, our freedoms possible. Now, the story in my text illustrates how prone we are to forget things that we ought to remember. And I'm not just talking about national things today, really not so much talking about them in the rest of the message. But the story illustrates how prone we are to forget things that we ought to remember. Now, let's just go back and look at what has happened here. Jesus and His disciples have crossed the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is not really all that wide. On a clear day, you can see all the way across it. And so, they had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and during those voyages, here's how I imagine it happening in my mind. During that voyage, the disciples had discovered that they had forgotten to bring any bread. That is, they had forgotten to bring anything to eat. And in my mind, I can imagine them as they get maybe halfway across. They say, "My goodness, did you bring anything for us to eat?" "No." "Judas, you've got the bags. You go down to the market and get us anything." "No." And nobody's got anything. They probably didn't want to say anything to the Lord about it, but I can just imagine them discussing that. And so they finally get to the other side, and upon docking their ship, the Lord Jesus Christ warns them. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, He says this, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now what they did is this. They related the word leaven to bread. It is the leaven that makes the bread rise. And so whenever He said leaven, they've been thinking about the fact that they have forgotten to bring any food, and they therefore related the word leaven to bread, and they jumped to the conclusion that Jesus was scolding them for forgetting to bring anything to eat. Look at verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread. That's why the Lord has warned us about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He doesn't want us to eat what they're eating. I don't want us to do that." So that was the conclusion they jumped to. Now, why is it that they jumped to the wrong conclusion? And they actually did jump to the wrong conclusion, because we look over at the 12th verse and we find that what Jesus was warning them of was this. He was warning them to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the scribes. Matthew 16:12. That's what he's warning them of. He says that leaven, that doctrine that the scribes and Pharisees have, if you let a little bit of that false doctrine get into your way of thinking, let it get into your theology, it's like leaven in bread. It's going to permeate the whole, your whole theological scheme. It's going to mess up everything. Now, we could stop there and we could talk a whole lot about the importance of not letting even a little bit of false doctrine get into your theology. But that's not the purpose of the message. But that's what the Lord's warning of. Don't let just a little bit of that false doctrine get in there. It'll mess up everything. Oh, the importance of doctrine in the Word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. The first of those four things is what? Doctrine. Reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. But the first is doctrine. And I believe that was no accident. That was not just happenstance. God was saying doctrine comes right up at the front. It's important that we believe the right thing. And we get our beliefs from the Word of God. Lord, help me to get off of that and get back on the message. Amen. But they came to the wrong conclusion. They said the Lord's thinking about food when He's talking about doctrine. But why did they jump to the wrong conclusion? Well, the Lord tells us here in verse 9 and verse 10. He says this, "Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets he took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets he took up." Now, what he is doing is, he's referring back to two recent events in which he has taken a little bit of food and fed thousands. The first one is referred to in verse 9. That's back in Matthew chapter 14, just back up there in your Bibles. And I want to just read it. Take the time to read this. Let you see what he's referring to. What these disciples have recently seen, what they've recently experienced. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15, which the Lord's referring to in that ninth verse of my text, the Bible says this, "And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.' And they say unto Him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we've got." Now, in the text, my text, he didn't even mention the fishes. He just mentions the 5 loaves. They said, "But we only got 5 little loaves of bread here and 2 fishes. And He said, "Bring them hither to Me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." So that's the first thing he's referring to. He said, took 5 loaves of bread, 2 little old fishes there, and I fed the multitude. There was about 5,000 men plus the women and children. Assuming that there were probably 5,000 women present, that would have made it 10,000 people. Assuming that each family had 2 children, probably had more than that, but that would be easily 20,000 people. But he fed every one of them, and then when they got through, they gathered up the fragments, and they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. A basket for each one of the disciples, I guess. But he says, "You've forgotten all about that." And then in the 10th verse, he's referring back to chapter 15. Now, our text is in chapter 16, but he's referring back to the event that happens in Matthew chapter 15. And again, I'll read that so that you'll be aware of what they've just seen. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 32. "Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way.' And His disciples say unto Him, 'Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?'" You see, they've already forgotten what transpired in chapter 15. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few little fishes. They've actually got more than they had before. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, in this case, seven baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children, so it would probably have been somewhere around 16,000 or more people. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. Now, this is the problem here. They jumped to the wrong conclusion about what the Lord was talking about. They thought he was talking about food when he was talking about doctrine. And the reason they jumped to the wrong conclusion is this. They failed to remember those two recent events where the Lord had taken practically nothing and had fed thousands of people. Otherwise, they had forgotten that food was no problem for Jesus, that he could meet their needs. Now, what I want you to notice this morning is this. I want you to notice some consequences of failing to remember things that you should remember. It may be failing to remember things such as those who have sacrificed their lives for our country, those who are presently serving in our country, those who have served in our country. It may be things that have happened in the history of our church. It would certainly refer to things that have happened in the history of Baptists. I find Baptists have no idea about their history anymore, and because of that, they think they're Protestants, and they get all caught up in all kinds of foolishness. It may be something that's happened in your personal life or in your family life. But here's some consequences of failing to remember things that you should remember. Remember, we are prone to remember things that we should not, and we're prone to not remember things that we should. Now, here's some consequences of failing to remember things that you should remember. The first one is this. Failing to remember those things that you should remember, it kills your gratitude. It kills your gratitude. Now, as I was looking over this text preparing to preach this morning, I had peace that this is what God wanted me to preach from. And I was looking there, and when a preacher goes looking through the text, he's always looking at things. Now, what does this say here? What's the point that I can draw from here? And it dawned on me as I was reading through this text, reading through Matthew 14, reading through Matthew 15, it dawned on me that there is no mention in any of these stories or in their immediate context of any gratitude expressed by the disciples for anything. No gratitude expressed for their meals. No gratitude expressed for their safe voyage across the Sea of Galilee. No gratitude whatsoever expected. And this thought came to my mind. Failing to remember what you should remember, it kills your gratitude, your thankfulness. It kills it. It kills it. I thought about the story of King Ahasuerus and the Jew Mordecai back in the book of Esther. And I trust you're somewhat familiar with the story, but here's what happens. Mordecai, he's there in the gate of the city, and he overhears a plot by some people. They're plotting to assassinate King Ahasuerus. You read about that all in the little short book of Esther. But they're plotting to kill King Ahasuerus. And so Mordecai gets word to the king. I'm leaving out a lot of details for the sake of time. But he gets word to the king of the plot to kill Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus takes and he has that investigated. He determines that the plot is true. And he kills his potential assassins. And he forgets all about it. He never does anything to reward Mordecai. Never says thank you to Mordecai for saving his life. Until sometime later, we find that one night, it's a restless night, the king could not sleep. And so, apparently he was a rather vain person. He says, I cannot sleep. So he calls for one of his servants, and he says, I want you to go get the records, the chronicles of all the wonderful things that I've accomplished. And I want you to read them to me. I thought that, you know, he probably thought it's something wonderful, but if it puts you to sleep, it must not be that good. Amen. But he says, go get those things, read them to me. I can't rest tonight. And so the chronicler goes and he gets, chooses a section there to read to him. And he's sitting, reading to the king, trying to get the king to go to sleep. And lo and behold, as he's reading there to the king, he reads the story of how Mordecai the Jew has uncovered a plot to assassinate him, and as a result of that, his life was spared. And it dawns on the king, did I ever do anything for Mordecai? He saved my life, and I forgot all about him. And so he says, is there anything I ever did for Mordecai? They said, no, you never did anything for him. He says, well, I got to do something for him. And you read the rest of the story, you'll see that then he goes and does something for him. But here's what I want you to see. Here is a man whose life was saved by another man, and he forgot about it just as soon as it happened. Until something happened to remind him of it, he forgot about it, never said thank you. Saved his life. Now, how much are we like that? We don't like to admit that. But we are so much like that. People will do things for us. The Lord will do things for us. And we just kind of take them for granted. It's just kind of in the run of the day. And we forget all about it. And therefore, we lose our gratitude. We live in a very day in which I start saying unthankful generation. But we live in a day when there's very little gratitude for anything by anybody. It's not just a certain generation. Very little gratitude expected. Now, as I'm preaching here this morning, it may very well be that as I'm preaching here, and I've talked about how King Ahasuerus forgot something wonderful that a man had done for him to save his life, it may very well be that God has stimulated your thinking, and you've been reminded of someone who has helped you greatly in the past, and you forgot all about it. You never said thank you. And you know what the Lord is saying to you? You need to take care of that just as soon as you possibly can. Just as soon as you possibly can. I said to someone recently that was a little perturbed with me, I said, you realize you're turning your back on one of the best friends you've got in the world. And here's what they said, you've never done a thing for me. And I thought, my soul, how short your memory is. How short your memory is. How many times have I done things for you? My wife said, we can't really afford that. I said, yes, we can. We'll work it out. Huh? And people forget so soon. Remember, think back. Remember the blessings of God. Remember the sacrifices of those in our military. Remember, just think back and remember and let God rekindle in you a sense of gratitude, a sense of thankfulness once again. But there's another thing that failing to remember what you should remember will do. And that is, it will stunt your faith. Now look at back at our text here. In chapter 16, verse 8 of Matthew, the Bible says this, the Lord Jesus, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, that is when he perceived that they thought he was talking about bread. When he perceived that, he said unto them, O ye of what? Little faith. O ye of little faith. You've forgotten what I've done for you. And so you don't think I can take care of that now. Now, I try to imagine the conversation of those disciples, what it would have been like if they had remembered what the Lord had done for them. As I said, I've tried to just imagine what things were like in my mind. And I've imagined in my mind that they left to cross the Sea of Galilee, and sometime after they left, it dawned on them, hey, we've not brought anything to eat. And they perhaps are whispering, hey, John, did you bring anything? No. Jude, did you bring it? No. And, man, what's going to happen when we get over the side and the Lord realizes we didn't bring any food to eat? They're thinking like that. But if they had remembered what had happened in Matthew 14, what had happened in Matthew chapter 15, I believe the conversation would have been much different. In my mind, here's how I imagine. They're leaving, and one says, you know something, I forgot to bring any food. Any of you guys bring anything? Nah, didn't bring anything. But there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. Because remember back in a few days ago, whenever the Lord took those five loaves of bread and those two fishes, and he fed those 5,000 men plus their wives and their children and so forth, and we had 12 baskets left over, we got nothing to worry about. And another one would have said, that's right. And even since then, don't you remember what just happened yesterday? How the Lord took those seven loaves of bread and those two little fishes, those few little fishes there, and fed the thousands of people, and we had seven baskets left over there. Well, we've got nothing to worry about. Well, Jesus has met our need in the past. He's going to meet our need again. There's nothing to worry about there. But the fact that they had forgotten what the Lord had recently done for them meant that their conversation was completely different. They're worried to death about how their needs are going to be met. You see, their failure to remember has stunted their faith. You know, the Bible tells us that we grow fraught from faith to faith. You see, it's not that you get saved and all of a sudden God just dumps a pile of faith on you. That's all you're going to ever have. That's not it. But what happens is this. You place your faith in the Lord and He saves you and changes your life. And then He calls on you to do something else by faith, and you step out there and you do that. And you that kind of builds your faith up. It bolsters your faith. And so the Lord asks you to do something a little bit bigger, and you step out on that. You're a little bit trembling here because it's an area that you've not been to yet. And you get there, and then the Lord asks you to take a greater step of faith, and you're a little bit trembling. You get there. But then one day the Lord asks you to do something by faith that you did 5 years ago, and if you hadn't forgot about it, you step back and you say, well, that's no problem there. That's no problem. I heard Brother Les Roloff talk about one time. He said how many thousands of dollars that he had to believe God for every day of his ministry. And he said, I can remember when I first started out how that I was afraid to trust God for just a pittance of what he was presently having to trust the Lord for. He said, but I don't think anything about it now, having to trust Him for thousands of dollars every day. Why? He hadn't forgot what God had done. And whenever we forget what God has done in the past or what others have done in the past, it stunts our faith. It keeps us from growing in the grace of the Lord. I know sometimes, you know, every stage of your life, your faith fights different battles, does it not? You think, one day I'm going to reach a battle, and it's not. You know, it's going to be over with. That's not it. But when you get older in life, and I'm getting there, all right, I know it's hard for you to believe, but I'm getting there, all right? Somebody asked me, Brother Danford asked me the other day, he said, how old are you? I said, I'll be 67 in a few more weeks, about another month there. He said, wow, I never thought that you were that old there. I said, I'll take you to get your eyes checked. Amen. But getting in age, you know what? Things that challenge my faith today, they were not things I would even thought about 40, 50 years ago. But sometimes I'd get looking like this, and I'd say, Lord, what am I going to do? I know my energy level is getting down. I know I'm getting up in age here. I know I can't hold up to the pressure and the stresses and the schedule that I'm going to. That's necessary to be a pastor. I know I can't do that. And, Lord, I don't have a pile of money laid back to retire on. You know, if I hadn't quit my job in ministry, while all those guys are now retired and they're taking it easy, Lord, I guess I'll just starve to death. My wife and I just starve to death in my old age. You know what I'm doing? I'm forgetting what God's already done. And I was thinking like that the other day, and this thought crossed my mind. I believe it was the Lord speaking to me. Amen. He said, go step on the scales. All right. Yeah, you've gained 40 plus pounds in the years since you left that job. You hadn't starved yet. I don't think you got anything to worry about. Amen. I said, all right. So every time I look at the scales now, I say, well, the Lord's not going to let me starve. Amen. Not going to do that. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. When we forget what the Lord has already done, it stunts our faith. It keeps us from growing anymore. But when we look back and we see what the Lord has done in the past, then our faith just keeps growing and growing. They had forgotten what God had done. And therefore, they were worried about what are we going to eat when we get to the shore. Now, a third and a final thing is this. Failing to remember those things that we should remember, it messes up our understanding of the present. Look at that ninth verse in our text, Matthew 16. The Bible says this, the Lord said to them, do ye not yet understand? You see, they didn't understand. They didn't comprehend the present because they failed to remember what they should not have forgotten. They understood Jesus to be talking about food when He was talking about doctrine. They completely misunderstood what He was talking about. They completely misunderstood the present. That's why the Lord gave to the nation of Israel instructions to build memorials to remind them of their past so that they could understand their present better. And He gave them several memorials. The one that we're most familiar with is what? The Passover. What did the Passover remind them of? It reminded them of the night that God delivered them from Egypt, smote the firstborn of the Egyptians and everyone that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, smote the firstborn, and how the Egyptians basically said, get out of here and take whatever you want with him. God said, I want that to be memorialized throughout the rest of your history. Why is that? God wants them to remember what he did to them. And over and over and over, whenever they would be going through rough times, God would take them back and say, remember, I brought you out of Egypt. And every year you're going to celebrate this Passover. You're going to be reminded of what I did for you back then. What did God do for them whenever He brought them up to the Jordan River and Joshua was able to lead them across the Jordan River? The priests are standing there with the ark in the middle of the river. The walls, the water is standing up on both sides. And the people come across, and now it's time for the priest to come up out of the river so that the waters would close back up. And God says, wait a minute. Before you do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a man from each tribe and go down in the riverbed and pick up a big old stone there and bring out here and build a monument here on this western bank to remind you that the river, I dried it up so that you folks could walk across there. It's a memorial to remind them of what God had done. And you'll find that over and over in their history. You can go through all their feasts and so forth. There are memorials there. It's good for us to have memorials. To remind us there that we can understand the present better. Now, our failure as a nation to teach our past has produced a generation that does not understand or appreciate our present. Our past is not perfect. Our past is not perfect. There's never been a perfect man. Listen, George Washington, great man, not a perfect man. We don't say that none of us have ever been perfect. Amen? Nobody has. But I'm going to tell you what. We've had some great men that have made some great sacrifices that God gave divine wisdom in how to organize our nation and so forth there. And it's something that we taught for years. It was emphasized. But now it's pushed aside, and these men are, their reputations are smeared, they're belittled and so forth there. And as a result, our younger folks so often don't understand the present, and therefore they don't appreciate the present at all. They need to be taught. They need to be taught the past. And our failure as independent Baptists to teach our history, it has produced a generation that does not understand or appreciate what we are at all. They really don't. They really don't. It's sad. It's sad. They've never been taught the battles that were fought by what I call the old war horses of our faith, who made their stand, who risked everything in order to stand for truth and right and so forth. They just stepped out on faith. It's not been taught. And as a result, the present is not understood at all. It's all confused. Now, I could go on and on and on talking on these lines, but I'm going to close it up. Could I get an amen right there? All right. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I want you this morning to reminisce just a little bit. I want you to remember the things that God has done for you and for us as a church. Remember the things that God has taught you over the years. Remember those things. And as you remember those things and remember what God has done in giving us this land and establishing this nation and preserving this nation, as you remember those things, may it cause your heart to flood over afresh with some gratitude, where you look back and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for, Lord, you giving that person the courage and the faith to sacrifice, make that sacrifice for me. Thank you so much, Lord. And then as you remember those things, let it bolster your faith. You forget about what God's brought you through, then you won't have faith to go forward. You'll have to back up and relearn those lessons. But let it bolster your faith as you look back and say, no, God's already brought me through that. If God brought me this far, then He can take me that much, He can take me further. And let it bolster your faith and challenge your faith. And then let it also give you an understanding of how things really are. Not how they look without the light of history being shown on them, but as they really are. And I think it'll help you enjoy this Memorial Day, appreciate it. It'll perhaps be a little bit more solemn than ever before. But it'll be a special day to you. And it should be. Let's stand.